Brian Rosen from Snapshot at West Edge Opera. I'm so glad you could be here.
Thanks for having me, Sarah. It's great to be here.
Snapshot is, this is sort of new opera.
New opera, yeah. It's West Edge Opera, I think, is a great opera company that's really well positioned to sort of champion new opera, new music in the Bay Area. So it all started a good 4 years ago, 5 years ago, I think, when artistic director Mark Krasinski and I were in New York, because it turns out that January is filled with new music festivals and new theater. There's the Prototype Festival, the Under the Radar Festival of Theater. And we were having drinks after one of the productions that we had a very strong emotional reaction to. And we said, we should do something like this in the Bay Area. We need to have a space for composers developing new opera to present what they've got going on.
And this is Friday, January 31st in Berkeley, Saturday, February 1st in San Francisco. So you have two performances and people can find out more at westedgeopera.org. Collaboration with Earplay?
They are our phenomenal group of musicians that come in and perform. It's one of the things that makes it really possible for us, because a lot of times composers only have resources for piano scores or something like that, and this allows them to actually get out there, play with the different colors of the instruments, and get a small orchestra actually with the voice, which was, you know, kind of crucial to making opera work.
And you say focused on Bay Area composers?
Initially it was Bay Area composers only, and we've slowly been sort of like widening the call. This year, the past couple of years, it's actually been all West Coast composers. So people who are have connections with Los Angeles or actually even Hawaii will consider works for. I can't remember what the criteria is, something like have to have spent like 6 out of the past 10 years in the Bay Area somehow. So, you know, if people came out here and were in college or something like that and then have gone somewhere else, we'll still accept their pieces.
How do you choose what to present and who makes those choices?
So the curation team is myself, music director Jonathan Kuhner, and Mary Chun from Earplay. And basically we collect submissions and then we have a giant marathon session where we go over all of them, listen to them. We either listen to recordings that they've provided, or we'll play through some of them. Jonathan's an amazing sight reader, so he'll just play through it on the piano. Then we sort of each come into it with our own sort of aesthetic and our own sort of belief as to what we want to see happening in the opera world. And we hash it out. And then we decide on the pieces that we want to bring in.
You have four operas per evening. So four on January 31st and the same four on February 1st. Are these excerpts?
Sometimes they're excerpts. Sometimes they're full pieces. We have Nicholas Lel Benavides' piece, Gilberto, which is a full-length opera, and we're going to be presenting excerpts of it, about 20 minutes worth. And then there are pieces which are pretty much in their entirety. So it varies.
Great. We have two collaborative teams here. The first is Ryan Suleiman and Christina Frias. Welcome to KALW.
Thanks so
much.
It's great to see you.
Thank you so much.
Your opera is called Moon Bride Dogs. So tell me a little bit about it.
Maybe I'll let Tina or Christina take that one.
Sure. So Ryan and I started collaborating on this piece in 2017. We met at UC Davis. I was getting my master's in creative writing, and Ryan was and still is getting his PhD in music composition. And we had the opportunity to collaborate on the writing. People who were involved would write a text, and the composers would set that text to music. And so that's how we met. And the story came about just through a piece of fiction that I wrote.
Oh, that you wrote?
Yeah.
But isn't this based on the donkey skin?
Yes.
The Catherine Deneuve film, right?
Yes, there is that really amazing film. And that's actually based on the fairy tale by Charles Perrault.
Oh.
And so I actually adapted or sort of reimagined a scene from Donkey Skin, the fairy tale, which is this sort of strange, creepy fairy tale. And I sort of brought my own words, images, characters into that.
She had me read the story, the fairy tale in its original form, when I first, you know, saw the libretto. And it's a very disturbing story, kind of an unfortunate fairy tale.
Right.
The original fairy tale, isn't it a father who needs a new bride and decides that his daughter is the best choice, and then she manages to escape.
That's right.
Yeah. That's already sort of a troubling beginning to a fairy tale. So, Christina, you wrote the story. You wrote a story.
Mm-hmm.
And then you, too, decided to write an opera. Tell me about that process, how you turned the story into a libretto, how you started collaborating.
So that's right. As Christina mentioned, we're both students at UC Davis, and she has graduated. I'm still over there. So the collaboration came about through a project between the music department and the writing department. And basically, that piece that she wrote was one of the samples of her work that I saw to begin a collaboration. And I thought, well, it would be great to just set this story to music. And I realized, well, it's a dramatic story. It has a narrative, has an arc. So opera would be probably the most fitting mode to do that in. And from there, we sort of, you know, had a back and forth where I asked her to make changes to the text, then asked her to expand it, to cut it here, and that's how it came about.
A lot of people, when they think of opera, think of grand opera and big productions. And I have friends who write operas, and just it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and casts of thousands, and fancy sets and so on. So how do you, when you say opera, how do you make it manageable so that it will then get produced?
Sure. So that's a great point. The first thing is just purely the amount of text to deal with, making sure that it's not too long and that it's a amount that, you know, this story basically is one continuous scene. I mean, there are several sort of scenes within it, but there isn't like a moment where the curtain goes down and there's another act. It's a one-act opera. So I think there's kind of a momentum or a thread that continues through, and it's a complete work, but it's short, about 20 minutes, but still a complete opera, very different from the grand opera form.
Yeah.
And it also sort of allows someone to emphasize the theater of the thing as opposed to the spectacle of the thing, which opera, grand opera, certainly is relying on heavily. In a grand opera where you're going to be like, you know, very, very far away from the performers, you don't get the nuance. You don't get to feel like you're in the same room with someone. And that's one of the great things about West Edge productions in general and chamber opera, particularly, is having this intimacy of being able to be like right next to somebody making these amazing sounds with their bodies.
Yeah, yeah. You have a clip from this opera.
That's right. So this clip is coming from the very first performance of this opera, which was with the North American New Opera Workshop. That's a group in Atlanta that premiered this for the very first time, and they helped us workshop the piece to bring it to its current form. And that has piano, string trio, and singers. And this new version that we'll hear in snapshots, Jonathan Kooner persuaded me to add double bass. So I'm very excited to do that. I think that was very grateful for that suggestion. This scene takes place sort of towards the exposition of the opera, where the protagonist, who is named Idiot Girl, she is trying to figure out where she is, what happened to her after she ran away from her traumatic situation. She's asking, what does it take to be known? So I'll go ahead and play that clip.
Thank you.
Excerpt from Moon Bride Dogs, music by Ryan Suleiman and libretto by Christina Frias. You can hear and see it Friday, January 31st. Is that already this Friday?
Yeah, it's this upcoming Friday.
Oh, that's...
We're deep in rehearsal.
Amazing. And Saturday, February 1st, which is, I guess, this Saturday, in Berkeley on Friday, in San Francisco on Saturday. You can find information at westedgeopera.org. There are two composers who couldn't be here tonight.
Right. Yeah, and one of the things we're excited about is the huge variety of cultural voices we're able to bring this year, in particular, more so than in previous years. One of the composers that we've got is Joan Hwang, who is a wonderful Asian-American composer now, although she was born in China during the Cultural Revolution. But studied music there and then came to the States. And so she has this amazing ability to straddle both Chinese traditions and Western traditions. And so we're doing a piece by her called 18 Melodies for Hujia. It's a story of, it's a very famous story in China about the art and life of Cai Wenji, who was a woman who was basically forced to abandon her children. And so it's a really sort of bittersweet, sad story, very, very passionate, very emotional. And it's sung in English, but with the hujia is a classical Chinese instrument, and even though we don't have any Chinese instruments in the orchestra, that has this sound, this feeling, a real sensitivity to the timbres of Chinese music. It feels like it's using Chinese instruments somehow. It's an amazing piece.
What will we hear by her? You brought in some music.
Yeah, I did bring some music in from Joan. Unfortunately, we can't hear 18 Melodies for Hujia because there's no recording of it yet, and we're getting ready to premiere it now. But I was able to bring some music that Earplay performed in their recent CD. And so she has a piece called Along the River during the Qingming Festival, which is based upon a very famous painting from China. And so I'm going to play Movement 4. Which is called the Main Gate, and it's a sprawling and hectic urban scene at the Main Gate of the stage.
Great. Music by Joan Hwang. Thank you. Music by Joan Huang, performed by the ensemble Earplay, who will be part of Snapshot, is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they will be the orchestra.
And Joan Huang's 18 melodies for Hujia will be one of the four operas that evening, Friday in Berkeley and Saturday in San Francisco.
Yeah, and that one will be, that's the entire piece we'll be performing, as opposed to the ones where we have excerpts for. And Gilberto, which is Nicolas Lel Benavides' piece, and Mirella Koch did the libretto, and we're going to do excerpts of that one. And that's another piece that really expands the cultural voice that we have. It's almost entirely Latinx cast. Mm-hmm. And it's about a young Latino man growing up in Oakland who's celebrating the last day before he gets shipped off to the Korean War. And it's very much sort of an exploration of identity, what it is to be an American, what it is to be a Latino man. And it's set, the opening scene is set actually in a ballroom, Sweet's Ballroom in Oakland. And it's a really great piece. It's a lot of rhythmic dancing, and I think Nicolas has a really great sense of the rhythms of the culture. It really works well.
We're Facebook friends, and I see some of his posts about his family and his grandfather, and I think his family has been in this area for generations. Maybe so. Is this partly autobiographical, do you think?
I believe it is, actually. I mean, I think they are definitely taken from stories of his family that actually happened. We talked about it a little bit. We had long conversations about how to market this, like what is the right way to sort of encapsulate the story that he's trying to tell. And it's a complicated one. I mean, it is hard to encapsulate the whole concept of identity in just a few sentences. And I think that's one of the things this piece is about. It's about the many different parts of a human being that we try to sort of label. So I'm really looking forward to us sort of like supporting this piece and helping get it on its feet.
You've brought in some music by him.
Yes, we don't have recordings of Gilberto, but we do have a piece that he wrote for a opera workshop a while ago, and it's adorable. It's basically about a husband and wife who go to adopt a dog in a dog shelter, and the sort of relationship drama that evolves from that. And he has the dog being an active participant in the opera, singing as well. And so I wanted to play the love duet between the woman who is looking to adopt the dog and the dog. So this is a love duet from Pepito.
Hi, David. You get 4 minutes alone with the dog. If there is chemistry.
Wait, I don't even know his
name. Go.
Hello, dog. My name is Camilla. My husband and I came here.
I love you.
Music by Nicholas Lel Benavides. You can hear his Gilberto with libretto by Marella Martin.
Koch. I actually studied with her at NYU. We know each other well. So.
Oh, okay. As part of Snapshot, presented by West Edge Opera this Friday and Saturday, Berkeley and San Francisco. Friday at Ed Roberts Campus at the Ashby BART Station in Berkeley, and Saturday at the Taub Atrium Theater on Van Ness Avenue in San Francisco. For more information, westedgeopera.org. I'm Sarah Cahill here with Brian Rosen from Snapshot, and we're joined now by Peter Michael van der Namer.
Very good, very good.
Peter Michael van der Namer and Cynthia Lewis Farrell. And I call you Mike, is that right?
Yes, you can call me Mike.
That's okay. And you have written an opera called El Canguro.
Yes.
But before we talk about it, I, you know, off the air when we were talking just now, you brought up the rarity of a place to present chamber operas.
Yes, I just wanted to point out that very, very unique what West Edge Opera is doing here. I know that the opera is seen very well worldwide, and what's happening in Europe and in Germany and also in the US. And I think it's very important for your audiences to know that this will be a unique experience for them. It's not happening every day or even every year in a normal way that you have a presentation of four completely new operas presented. The funding goes down more and more. There are less and less opportunities for more and more composers to present their work. So it's an extremely important work that West Edge Opera is doing here. So we all very much appreciate what they're doing.
Absolutely.
Is it a matter of risk-taking that's unusual?
I would say from my point, and then Brian can step in, I think it's a combination of many things. It's first of all, always to find the funding, to figuring out what does an audience really want to do today, finding the right pieces also that you can show together. So it's many questions.
Yeah, it's a question of scale. You know, we're able to bring down the number of orchestral players. We're able to sort of use better, you know, smaller groups of singers rather than the grand opera. We believe that it's important to sort of create a kind of opera, a kind of musical theater that is complex and meaningful. And sort of goes beyond the commercial musical theater model, sort of straddles between the theater model and the opera, the grand opera model, and find a middle way that we can still sort of tell compelling stories that combine music and theater.
Cynthia, tell me about this opera, El Canguro. Tell us the story.
Absolutely. We are so grateful to West Edge Opera and Earplay for tackling this story in particular. The title, El Canguro, is Guatemalan slang for the nursery. And in 2007, Guatemala was an absolutely crazy place. My mom had died. My dad and I pretty much took our grief to Antigua. And we dove into a Spanish intensive, and we climb the temples in the Maya temples in Tikal and Yaksa. And while we were out driving around Antigua, our host happened to drive by a random storefront. And he looked at this storefront and he practically spit. And he said, that's where they found the kids. And those kids would be 46 infants for sale. And if you were infertile in 2007, Guatemala was absolutely the place to go. For 40 grand to 80 grand, depending on what the child looked like, you could adopt a rainforest child. No questions and pretty much no wait. You'd get a call that a baby of the gender of your choice was available. The hiccup was that you couldn't take your kid home right away. And in fact, there was a major supply problem. They were ferrying children from that storefront in Antigua up to the Marriott in Guatemala City and showing that child to different couples, telling each couple that this was their child. The corruption throughout the Guatemala international adoption trade it was outrageous. And of all that money, it all got sucked up in the in-between people, and about $600 actually got to the mother in the rainforest. And what our host said was, the people come here, rich foreigners come here thinking they're solving some sort of overpopulation problem, but what they've really done is create an industry. Mm. And that industry tore apart the social mores of a really very conservative society that was patriarchal, and suddenly it's the woman who's making the money, and she's selling children. And so it was a study in human trafficking, and yet such heartfelt need on both sides. It was just an opera in the making.
How did you two get together, composer and librettist, and how did you decide to turn this into an opera?
You understand? So everything started when we met in Los Angeles. We met through a musical theater writing workshop, and we developed some pieces there, and then one day we had also short assignment to develop something that is about political themes and subject matters. And so we both looked at each other and said, let's try our own unique opera. And if it fails, and if nobody likes it, then we can completely move on to something else. But we would like to try something that really speaks from our souls. And we both have always been interested in stories about the human condition, things that matter. And so when Cynthia told me about the story, I was completely thrilled, and it fit right into my soul and into my heart. And so we developed an 8-minute piece and presented it to a couple of people, and all of them were thrilled. And so we said, let's try to do something with that. And so we moved from that over a long process, developing further, longer and longer, bigger and bigger, to the form that we have at the moment.
On Friday and Saturday, is it an excerpt of your opera that's going to be presented?
Yes, it's only an excerpt. It's a full-length opera. It's only an excerpt, yes.
Let's listen to some of your music.
This particular piece, Pillars of Stone, the story El Canguro pits two women against each other, one that has a baby and one that must get a baby to sell.
So we're going to hear an excerpt of the opera now?
Yes. So, and this is soprano Gillian Lee.
An excerpt of an opera that you can hear this weekend, El Canguro, music by Peter Michael von der Namer and libretto by Cynthia Lewis Farrell, who were here in the KALW studio. Yeah, how do you put this together? How do you work together? In 2 minutes or less.
Yes, we will do our best. So this is a very interesting question always. So in our particular way, Cynthia and I developed a construction in which Cynthia would write the entire libretto, and then we developed a way in which she kind of would color code the entire libretto and would show which parts are emotionally connected with what part within the entire story.
Oh, amazing.
And the reason why we did this is because, especially if you have basically text that is written like dialogue, people tend to write a lot of recit and it's getting very recit driven, and sometimes this is really then boring music wise. And so what we wanted to do is that we figure out the emotional and psychological background of these characters first, and then I would know the psychological world in which they are in, and then I would add this layer additionally to the words that Cynthia was writing.
Mm.
So it would kind of sometimes create a counterpoint, sometimes it would be underscoring, sometimes it would polarize the story, and this is how we would construct the entire opera.
Generally speaking, people don't tell the truth. People lie. People shade what they're saying, but the music tells the truth underneath. So if someone says that they're sad but they're angry, the word may say, I'm sad, but the music says they're angry.
We'll think about that during the trial of the next couple of days, the Senate trial.
Well, you can write an opera about the trial.
Uh-huh.
And so that gives an incredible tension and a wonderful duality that just brings the piece to life and helps it vibrate.
And you're very much involved in the rehearsal, the rehearsals going on now.
Yes, yeah. we will be there. The rehearsal tomorrow will start, and then on January 29, we will be in all rehearsals, yes.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for coming
thank
in.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very
exciting.
Much.
This is Friday, January 31st, this Friday, Ed Roberts Campus at the Ashby BART Station in Berkeley. Saturday, 8 o'clock, Taub Atrium Theater at 401 Van Ness Avenue in San Francisco. Four operas each night. And there is more information at westedgeopera.org.